this episode, the Argos were busy this weekend. Legal tampering is on, which leads into free agency. And Uncle Will nails us with past Double Who Triumph. And what can't do today? Crack those cold ones. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast or go to our brand new home at anchor.fm/Argos Fancast.
Yarr.
Joining us, as always, is our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is our VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.ArgoFans.com.
And you can find me, Clay Chisholm, at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And from the Double Blue, Sir Douglas of House Ballantyne, second of his name, Lord of Section 160, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Threw me a bit of a curveball there with the intro. I thought you guys were going to skip me over. I'm thinking, geez, what do I look like? Cat food here? Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And you can also check out our merch store, which I've been incredibly lazy at adding stuff to. You can find all that, find all sorts of goodies there, including the Law Firm t-shirt, at least maybe for the next week. Who knows? DoubleBlueOrder.ca. You jumped the gun again.
DoubleBlueOrder.ca. There we go. All right. Well, I guess, you know, Argos did some things.
Yeah, we're still partying, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were at Toronto City Hall.
Yep.
With the Grey Cup and...
You've been all over the place with the Grey Cup.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of the Argos were... What do you got? You got Enoch Buamba, Kevin Iben, Dinwiddie. I don't know who this other guy is.
Dylan Giffen's there.
Attaboy. Yep. Chad Kelly, who apparently is living in Toronto.
I don't know who the guy with the mustache is, though.
No, and I don't know who the guy on the lower level with the plaid shirt is. Dylan Giffen's the guy in the middle up top, right? Yes. Beside Dan. But yeah.
And Mo was stuck in traffic.
He made it for the other photo op. No, but yeah. Argo's been they've been doing things. Oh, you know what? You know what they did this weekend? They re-signed some players.
They were busy. They had a busy weekend.
Yeah, so we started off on Friday. We extended Curley Gittens Jr. for 3 years.
Absolutely unheard of in the modern CFL.
And then we locked up our safety, Royce Metchie, through 2024. And, you know, for most people, that would be a, you know, pretty good weekend. No, we were done. On Saturday, Boris Beedy locked up for through 2023.
Comeback season for Boris the Boot.
And Winton McManus.
And his toothpick.
and his toothpick through for another year. And, you know, some teams would stop there. No, the Argos didn't stop there either. On Sunday, they added another two, signing Deshaun Amos and DeVaris Daniels. Six starters re-signed for 2023.
Yep. And let's not forget the week before, Grey Cup hero Robbie Smith re-signed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Argos, you know what, they it seemed like they were just kind of, you know, not really going to do much. And then all of a sudden, boom, they did a whole bunch of stuff.
It's like cramming for an exam. or it's April 30th. The post office closes in about an hour and you got to get your taxes out.
Yeah. And I guess, and you know, if you read Mike Hogan's article on Argonauts.ca, he was talking to Vince Magri, and who was, I guess this all happened when they were down at the one of the NCAA All-Star games, and they finalized 5 of those 6 deals down there while they were trying to watch practice.
Wow.
Talk about multitasking.
Indeed. Got better attention spans than I do.
And then we came to terms with 5 extensions that day. Phone didn't stop ringing, and he said he added that they're hopeful they're able to add a few more players to the re-sign list over the next few days, admitting they're in talks with a handful more. I like that.
I do too.
But we still have a few guys that we need to get locked up.
Well, we should mention that they, you know, previous to this weekend, they had extended Isaiah Cage, Brandon Calvert, Robertson Daniel, Maxime Latour, and Trevin Tate.
Yeah, I'm just looking through. Yeah. Yes, they have locked up a lot of their key pieces. I think we'll find out exactly whether we're going to be going with Chad Kelly or bringing back Loughram into the fold once he makes a decision if he's coming back up to play here. Because according to everybody out there, he's if he plays in Canada, he's only playing for Toronto.
Yeah.
And then we've got a couple question marks at running back some linebacker question marks that have yet to be answered. Hopefully they're among these handful because Enoch is not re-signed yet.
Enoch's either retiring or is coming back to.
Yeah. He hasn't made his decision. I'm not sure if they're going to keep Chris Edwards. Or if they're going to part ways with him.
I hope they don't. I know. Let's face it. Should we put out the disclaimer now? I think since I'm here, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do the disclaimer now. considering that we're recording on a Tuesday, so free agency starts next week. So I want to make it perfectly clear to everybody, first and foremost, the social media team is not in charge of player operations. If your favorite player doesn't get signed by the Argos on the day of or during the free agency period and he buggers off to go somewhere else, don't cuss them out.
Yeah. That should be their reply to anybody who gets mad at the social media team.
They're just reporting the news. They're not making it. Don't shoot the messenger.
Now, no? I guess I think what we're looking at as far as the Argos are a free agency, we should kind of go through them and look at whether or not. We think they would be a good fit to come back if we could get them for the right thing. Like, I mean, you know, Marky Vambles, he was great, but I'm not I'm not entirely convinced we can't find somebody who can match his productivity, but he did have really good hands.
Well, I kind of want to, like, can we find a second 1,000-yard receiver to go with Curly? Because it seems like a guy like Daniels is kind of stuck at 800 to 900.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of see, you know, Markeith Ambles too. Like, he's a possession receiver, but I think he's, you know, in that, you know, 600-800 yard range.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Darvin Adams is a free agent, but he's getting up there in age. So I mean, I don't know.
But he got close to 1,000 yards. Awfully close to 1,000 yards.
Oh yeah, yep. True.
I mean, we do have Cam Phillips.
Right, who did show promise, but I felt was not as quite as effective when he came back from the...
from his injury, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have rushed him back. I mean, you give him a full season, give him the full offseason to recover.
But he was good in the Grey Cup.
Yep. I mean, from I don't know, from me calling for him to be cut to me singing his praises, I think that's a good.
That's egg on your face, isn't it?
he won me over. Down the list, I mean, I would welcome a Cloud Bethel Thompson back. I'm sure all of us would.
Shaq Richardson.
Shaq Richardson, I think, is a very key guy that you want. I would love to see AJ Willette back here. Because I don't know, the feeling I get about Andrew Harris, and I probably am wrong on this, but for some reason I feel like he's edging closer to retirement. I don't know why I get that feeling, but that's where I've, you know.
Yeah, to me that's a safe feeling to have.
Yeah.
So it kind of becomes a point where, you know, since Magri keeps saying, "Oh, we won't be very active in free agency," but you know, depending on re-signings over the next week, I can envision a few holes that'll need filling.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm looking at some of the other guy, other people that you know, Phillip Blake, he's going to be a free agent.
They probably don't. I don't know.
I don't know. He was very, very versatile. I think he literally played every position on the offensive line last year.
Other than his home position.
but with Ryan Hunter in there, I think he might be expendable. Down the line, Juwan Breskison.
Now, there's a guy that's been snake bit throughout his tenure as an Argo.
Yeah, but I mean, he was also snake bit a little bit, you know, on the tail end of his tenure with the Stampeders as well. So I'm not sure that's you're going to get anything else besides that Juwan Breskison.
Well, I had wondered if they had re-signed him when Davaris Daniels, who he's friends with, posted a picture, Mood, with a picture of Breskison making that great catch in the one game he played. So I'm kind of curious to see if maybe I took that as a cryptic message, but, you know, the Argos didn't announce anything.
Yep.
Today.
Yeah, maybe they're still working on it.
Yeah. You know, like, when he's healthy, he can be a game changer. But
that's
a big question.
How many games has he actually played for the Argos?
Four or five. I don't know, like four or five.
Yeah. Exactly.
And to be quite honest, there were a handful of games out of that four or five that the guys who came in to replace them were hot, so they kind of kept them on that injured list a little bit longer than he needed to be, but still. Down the list, we've got Jagera Davis.
Keep him for the karma. I want to keep him just for the karma.
I know, but...
He's...
I get your point, but I want to keep him for the karma.
Yeah. Well,
period. Keep him for the karma.
It's hard to argue with that track record, right? 6 years in the league, played in six Grey Cups, won two of them.
Keep him for the karma, considering that where the Grey Cup is this year. Keep him for the karma.
We've already
period. Mentioned. Full stop. Move on.
Yeah, I'm just not sure we can afford Jagera Davis. I'm just not sure we can afford him.
Well, then they're gonna need a pat, like.
Yeah. Because I think they, you know, going on the other side, Shane Ray, another guy who's just been hamstrung.
Another snake bit individual.
Yeah. I mean, when he was in there, he was doing fantastic.
He was sweet. Because I like calling him Sugar Shane Ray.
Yeah. But are injuries too much there? I don't even know Fabian Foote was under contract last year.
I don't think, has Fabian Foote even played a game?
I have no idea.
I'm not so sure.
Yep. And then going down the list, we've Justin Lawrence, who we brought in as insurance for the center position. And I think we've got our man.
Coming back.
Yeah, he'll be back. Justin Lawrence is a national, so, you know, if you can get him at the right cost, which I don't think it's out of the question, but then Enoch and we've already talked about him, AJ Ouellette. I won mullet power back. Shaq Richardson, and the last guy on the list is Eric Rogers.
Who hasn't played very much.
No.
Then again, I think I honestly think he's been outperformed by the people who replaced him.
Yep. Good guy and everything, but I would, thank you for your efforts and move on.
I have a feeling I know where he's going to, if the Argos don't re-sign him, I know exactly where he's going. Based off of what, quote unquote, they've been doing.
Well, I think he might know somebody who's playing down the road a little bit, who he might have good chemistry with.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. We've covered all the Argos free agents now.
We didn't really have a lot this year, did we?
Well, we extended a whole bunch, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 left.
So we signed half of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Okay. That's pretty darn good.
Now, from what's left out there? Or what's out there? I mean, we know Trevor Harris is reportedly agreed to a deal in principle with Saskatchewan for 2 years.
So is Jake Winicky.
Yep. And then Stephen Dunbar is off to Edmonton.
Kelly Lawler.
Yeah, and Lawler back to
Kelly Lawler.
back to Winnipeg.
And Jovan Santos Knox will sign with the Ottawas.
He was a guy I would, throw some money at if we weren't sure that we could get Enoch back.
Yeah.
But going down the line of the top 30 free agents right now that are not already crystal balled to somebody. And I'm just trying to find people that we would need here because I'm not. Yeah, I wish.
It's hard to say until we know how the other pieces fall out.
Yeah.
I kind of would have liked Jake Waneke, but he's been signed.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene Lewis is probably a long shot.
Yeah, once again, I think Eugene Lewis is going to end up being one of the highest paid players in the league.
Oh, totally.
And he deserves it.
True.
What a guy like Reggie White Jr. out of Montreal.
Yeah.
Hurt, mind you.
Yep. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, you can, like, we all know Larry Dean is not coming back to Saskatchewan.
He is. He extended.
He did?
Yeah.
He did. Oh, I missed that then.
Well, it's just kind of, like, happening.
Yeah.
It like, just happened a few minutes ago.
Well, that's the reason I don't know. Because he sounded like he was just flat out disrespected from Saskatchewan. Yeah, I guess money changes things.
They probably gave him money.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a price.
Yeah, and just you know, going to okay. Has Tim? Have we heard anything about Tim White yet? Is that a?
I haven't heard anything.
Wise.
I'm just looking at this list here, and I don't, you know, since you guys
Mr. are White, that's not wise.
Yeah, from what I understand, yeah. Nothing has been said about Tim White yet.
This is interesting.
I mean, we all know if he comes here, he can get a ring here.
Yeah. So Farhan Lodgy is reporting that Greg Ellingson and Rashid Bailey are likely not going to be back with the Bombers.
Wow. They were good performers for the Bombers, too.
Yeah.
Ellingson is good overall anyway. It doesn't matter where he goes.
Yep.
Or Bailey, he's younger.
I would be happy with either one of them. Now then, are there any guys out there, else out there that you guys have seen that you'd want?
Again, it'll depend on who we sign back.
Okay, so let's assume that we're entering into free agency with what we have right now.
Then I figure we're going to need a receiver, a running back, a defensive end, and maybe a DB. Yeah. We welcome Darrell Walker back.
No.
No. Unanimous, no.
I think his best days are behind him. Yeah, pretty much all of the all the top guys are
signing back.
Signing back or have already been. Oh, no, it wasn't Larry Dean. It was Darnell Sankey that I was thinking about with Saskatchewan that felt disrespected.
He hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, that's not Larry Dean.
Well, I mean, we also have to figure, you know, like, we also forget that Jamal Peters has gone to the NFL, so that's another
area.
Maurice Carnell could probably do the trick.
Went to the bloody meme team, for God's sake. And they literally just celebrated 28-3 day, like, 2 days ago.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of DBs out there this year that, I mean, there's a lot of guys that might be available, just guys that are not necessarily going to top everybody's list as far as corners. I mean, you got guys who can, some guys who can play linebacker and DB, but usually those guys are not the ones you want to have out on the corner. And linebackers, you know, yeah, if we don't get Enoch, hello, Darnell Sankey.
Or
I would definitely go for it.
Are you ready to hand the keys to Jack Kassar?
There's another theory.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... I'm not sure I'm ready to pull that trigger yet. But I think when you pull that trigger, you're probably going to have a little bit of growing pains until he, you know, kind of gets into a groove. So as long as he's not in that role, I'm probably going to have the same hesitation. You know, he's at the point where I think if they think he's got a year left to grow, cool, but yeah. I don't know if he's there yet. I really don't. You know, and if you're gonna go with him in the middle, you need somebody. I mean, you've got Winton McManus on one side, and I think you need somebody just as consistent on the other side.
Edwards.
Yeah.
We gotta chat about the QB situation a little bit. You know, Farhan Lalji says if MET is going to play in the CFL, it'll be for Toronto. But make up your mind. I think Coach Dinwiddie, I think, said he would prefer to have somebody push Chad Kelly in camp. But, you know, if you're waiting for MET, you're not going to sign anyone else. So... I hope they've said you got to make, you know, Cloud, you got to make up your mind by sort of this weekend.
Yeah.
Plan out accordingly.
And at that point, then, who do you bring in to push Chad Kelly if you think MBT is gone?
There's not a lot of options.
No.
Not a lot of remaining options, anyway.
There's Fajardo and Dane Evans, but Montreal's going to need a quarterback.
Yep.
They're...
Yeah, they've got two guys named Davis, one guy we've never heard of, and one guy who's hasn't done not much.
Or do you take the BC approach from last year? Go with, you know, they went with Rourke and tried to build the best team around him.
Yep.
So at that point, fine. Well, considering it's Danny Machocha in charge, it's going to be the RSEC All-Star team. So whoever the best quarterback is in RSEC, that's who they're going to go with.
Probably.
Well, there's no probably about it. That's what he's going to do.
Well, no, he might.
Unless he gets somebody from Canada West and completely proves me wrong.
No, there's a chance, like, if the best quarterback is not from the Montreal Carabin, that he might go with the Montreal Carabin quarterback.
Carabin.
Yeah, because God forbid there's more than them in RSEC, especially in the, considering you got one big Rouge et Or beast in there.
Yep. There's been a couple teams that are starting to look a little bit better out there, but you still got now instead of being dominated by one team, you've got two teams dominating. Because he's turned those Carabin into pretty formidable opponents. Yeah, I like Chad Kelly. I think he's got all the tools. I think the game just needs to slow down a little bit for him. And that's only going to come with experience. But when you can, you know, throw it 60 yards on a rope and you can make your decisions, you know, a second quicker than some of the other young quarterbacks out there, I think those are all good signs. Chad Kelly's not super young either.
No, he's 29.
So
still younger than most of the quarterbacks in the league right now.
I know. But I think it's almost I don't know if I'm ready to fully jump off the law firm bandwagon yet.
Well,
it's kind of like the Jack Passar thing, right? You know?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we're just going to have to wait and see. That's all we can do.
Well, free agency officially opens on Valentine's Day.
What better way to say I love you than say fuck off from our team and never come back?
Or what better way to say I love you than here's some money.
Here's a dump truck full of cash.
No, there won't be. It won't be
a dump truck. It'll probably be an F-150.
Maybe a wheelbarrow. But hey, still, you know, that's still decent money to play football.
But hey, we can make it an F-150 if it's full of fives.
Good point. Well, the CFL's done some revamping to its off-season schedule. You know, we've already talked about the free agency. They had a new thing, a national and global kicking showcase. They had a national and global kicking showcase.
National and Global Kicking Showcase. Okay.
Yes. So they invited all the national and global kickers to a field out in San Diego, and they put on their displays. And well, we lost our Japanese kicker to Calgary because of that.
The Paradise retire?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think he's still going to be going backup role there, personally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, he wasn't going to get, like, I don't think he was going to get a shot here, but.
Nope. You know, free,
maybe
and then,
he just wanted to change his scenery.
Yeah, and that happened back in January 21st.
Yeah.
Arigato Sato-san. Good luck to you.
And we still got we've got Boris Beattie now. Unfortunately, he's not national or global based on the stupid rules. He should be global, but we've also got John Haggerty, who is still under contract and celebrated a birthday the other day.
Happy birthday.
And then, free agency opens March 14th. February 14th, yeah. And then March 3rd is the CFL Invitational Combine. That's going to be held at the field house at the University of Waterloo.
Doug can go.
That's in my backyard.
Yep. And then the full combine is going to be on March 22nd to 26th out in Edmonton.
That'll be cold.
Well, they've got that nice field house right there anyway, so they're going to all be inside. But they've said they've expanded and restructured 5-day event at Commonwealth Stadium Fieldhouse in Edmonton, featuring medical testing, measurements, traditional on and off field testing, individual drills, and one on ones.
Those pointless interviews.
Now, I think my next question then is needs to wait for the 3-minute warning. Because there's a question now that NFL teams can't ask. I think we'll get to that in the 3-minute warning. May 2nd is the CFL College University Draft and Global Draft. May 10th, rookie camp opens. May 13th, roster's got to go to 85 players. May 14th, training camp opens. May 16th, down to 75 players. And then you get to preseason, blah, 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 and the rest of it. So slightly new offseason, and this is kind of one of the first times I can remember them actually just putting it all together and scheduling it. So at least did some things right. They didn't get to do some things went wrong in Montreal. We know that. But they at least got their offseason schedule right. Now, speaking of off-season things, normally when we do off-season stuff, we let Will guide us through some Argos games of yore. This would be your cue, Will.
Well,
winky-winky.
One of the things about watching these games, you always find, I don't know, interesting, or is you always look out for a play that makes you think, gee, that wouldn't fly in 2023. Post this later on the Argos Fancast. We'll tweet out the video, but I was watching the 1990 East semifinal between the Ottawa Rough Riders and the Toronto Argonauts. Now, just to set up a bit of a context here, the Ottawa and Toronto had played the week before to end the season. The Argos winning 49-30, and there was a controversial play between Ottawa's linebacker, Bruce Holmes, and Ricky Foggy, the Argos quarterback. It's basically Foggy, as he was known to do, was running with the ball, got to the sidelines, and almost basically clotheslines him out of bounds. So, you know, that even then, even in 1990, that's, you're gone. That plays more famous for the fact that Chris Schultz literally gets up and lifts Bruce Holmes with two hands and starts beating the shit out of him. But, you know, Bruce Holmes was suspended for one game, for this playoff game. And, you know, as you know, the Argos were already down Matt Dunnigan. So Ricky Foggy was starting. So early in the game, the Argos are up, I think, 3-0. And Foggy, the pass blocking breaks down. And Ottawa's defensive end, Glenn Kolka, who had a bit of a reputation. That's all I'll say.
Kolka mania is running wild, brother.
Yeah. Basically, head tackles Foggy in what amounts to what today would probably be a horse collar tackle.
I mean, for those who haven't watched it yet, if you know wrestling, there is a takedown move called a bulldog. Essentially that.
Yeah. And of course the ground causes him to fumble. And Ottawa recovers for a touchdown. Two things today that you never things that make you go, that's not legal.
No.
The Argos backup, John Congemi, comes into the game. He gets hurt. Sort of down to Willie Gillis. If you want to know, if you ask who's Willie Gillis, you're probably not alone. But Damon Allen, circa 1990, was not the world's most consistent quarterback.
No.
And he didn't have the greatest game for Ottawa, so pinball mania kind of ran wild on them. And the Argos lost, let's see, in this game, they lost Ricky Foggy, John Congemi, Dan Ferroni, Rodney Harding, Chris Gaines, and someone else. Like, they all got hurt at some point. They still won
34-25. That kind of shows you where Ottawa was at that point.
Yeah, that was the first year Ottawa had really signed. That was the first time a team had really signed a lot of free agency was a lot different back then. And that was the first year Ottawa signed a lot of guys, and still
didn't quite work.
No. But unfortunately, Toronto lost to Winnipeg the next week in the East Final.
Darn. A moment of silence for the loss. All right.
They won this game.
They won that game, yes.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
But if you check out Calgary Stampeders Classics on YouTube, if you want to watch more Argo games.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, He started out by posting mostly Calgary games, and by the time it hit, he sort of, once he went through that collection, started to add more.
sort of to broaden the horizons a little bit.
Indeed. So, dear CFL, don't treat his channel like you did that 14-year-old.
That friggin' burns my buttons, I gotta tell you.
Grinds your gears.
Yeah, I really grind. That doesn't grind my gears. That just burns out my clutch.
Advances your anger?
Yep.
Like, I could see them actively doing something like that if his videos were monetized. They weren't.
But they weren't. They couldn't be.
Yeah, because he wasn't old enough to have monetized.
In fact, I think there's something, I'm told, that YouTube allows a third, like, they could just come in and claim money for that.
Yeah. It does it automatically, especially with regards to like music. So if you're using like any sort of licensed music, they like if it's for like 2 seconds, yep. YouTube can recognize it and basically say, okay, this record company is now getting any money that you would have generated on your video.
And because they used to take it down before, even if it was two seconds.
They tried everything.
Well,
they tried everything. They tried muting it. They tried everything, and now apparently this is the better option.
Yeah, and I know I've posted some videos that where we had some music that was automatically flagged as copyright that I'd had to take down when I was doing the Junior Admiral stuff. And for whatever reason, some record companies didn't opt into the automatic flagging of those songs. Because that was done automatically. It wasn't like somebody listening and bring it to their attention. It was all automatic. Because I got the notice for those within like minutes of posting the video the first time.
Yeah.
So, but what they did to this kid was somebody had to make the decision.
Mm.
And the kid was just making hype videos.
Doing more advertising.
It was free advertising, for God's sake.
Yeah, why not just claim the monetization on it? Let the stuff go out. Hell, a couple of those videos were good enough that the CFL should just said, hey, can we use those videos? It's our product. Why go to the extent of going, no, we want you to go away. 14-year-old that's putting out decent product. I'm sure he probably would have been overjoyed to have some of those ones thrown up on CFL social media.
Oh, totally. I'm sure you'd be tickled pink.
So, I just pulled up that Calgary Stampeders Classics page. And man, he's even got a lot of the CFL traditions stuff on there.
Well, he just posted that.
Yeah. He's got all kinds of interesting things on here. This is pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
I may end up down a rabbit hole at some point.
Oh, yeah, man, there's a lot of just search Argos and you'll find. I watched the 87 East Final, and all the Grey Cup wins are on there.
at least the modern, well, the modern era, you know, the 1970s finals up there, the 1960s finals up there.
Yeah, he's got some...
sounds like you've got some watching to do.
Apparently.
And Clay, okay, so this is okay. This isn't quite 3 minute warning material, but
we haven't even started the 3 minute warning yet. So
oh, I know ahead. I gotta ask Clay about this that okay. I watched a few months ago. Glenn Suter rapping.
Oh.
Okay, hang on. I'm throwing a flag on that one. What? Glenn Suter rapping?
Glenn Suter rapping.
1988, I believe.
11, that's enough.
Oh my god. The writers put out a music video, because that was all the rage at that point, was like teams putting out music videos thanks to the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yes.
yeah, that was kind of what started it. And the writers jumped on that and put out a music video, and like it makes sense to do something like that now, where you have that stuff readily available to you. But the internet wasn't a thing. This showed up on, like, you know, random TV shows, and it showed up on the news at one point. You know, it was
what was the byline? Local football player makes ass out of himself with a rap video.
Well,
it was the whole team. If you think about that Super Bowl Shuffle one, that, you know, the biggest music video made by a team. They essentially did that, but they made a rap because they were. They were tired of missing the playoffs.
11 years in a row.
Did it work?
Yes.
Actually, it did. They finished first that year.
I'm surprised they haven't done that every year.
The Stampeders also did one in 86 when they were in danger of folding.
That's the other, yeah. Because they were still having the telethons at that point for the riders too.
Sung to the tune of Billy Ocean.
That one I never saw.
Oh, so just type in Sabre Stamps. It's there.
Just for the record, if this is out there, please send it our way. Because I know I'd have a hoot watching it. I'd probably cringe with embarrassment, to be perfectly honest, but that's okay.
You know, there were a ton of things that teams did back in the, you know, 80s and early 90s that would have been absolutely perfect for the social media content stuff nowadays. Like, I can remember having a poster on my wall of the Saskatchewan defensive front seven with – they were standing over a grave in those, you know, big, long Outback jackets, like, you know, like Undertakers and, you know, but cowboys and with shotguns and stuff like that.
So the big dusters.
Yeah. Like, there was all kinds of little things that went out that teams did in their local markets. You know, enough of these CFL teams had things like that that they were trying to use to, you know, get people watching, you know, pay attention to their product. You know, like, I bet you could go back.
Would it be bad to suggest to maybe some of these teams should retry it?
Absolutely not.
You know what? I would venture, at times teams have tried this stuff. I don't think that was I think that was Arlen Bruce. That wasn't the Argos. But the Argos have done that. It done stuff like this for a while. There was the one clip they had a few years ago with Jake Reinhart and somebody else just recreating a Family Guy scene.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah. You know, and there's been in this content-driven world, they've done that. Like, they've done things like that. I just don't think they've capitalized on some of this stuff.
No, they haven't.
Like, in this world that we live in, you can make merch out of something that went a little viral and capitalize on it and sell all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
Have they done that? No.
No. That's the sad part, because they're just leaving it out there completely untapped.
Yeah. What? We went from Glenn Suter rapping to us fixing the marketing strategy. How the hell does Glenn Suter rapping equate to correct marketing?
Well, but they love Glenn Suter in Saskatchewan.
Great Cup hero. One of a very few. How can they not?
Yeah, they don't have many Grey Cup heroes to choose from.
No, they don't.
No. I mean,
we have more in the last 20 years than we have as many in the last 20 years as they do, period.
Hey, we have one of their Grey Cup heroes coaching our team now.
Yes.
If it weren't for Ryan Dinwiddie, the Riders wouldn't have won in 2007.
I'm gonna change that. It wasn't because of Ryan Dinwiddie, it was because of Kevin Iben. Because if he didn't take out Kevin Glenn, you guys would have lost.
That's true, but we're talking about the Grey Cup here. If we're talking about Grey Cup heroes, then there you go. But Kevin Iben, you know, saved the Rider season at that point.
Once again, you're welcome.
Everything, and I'll continue to
say that until
everything, to say that everything seems while. To roll back to stuff the Argos have done.
Well, hello. What the hell is our program doing then?
Okay. We've gotten to this point. So,
all right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got.
Well, I don't know if I can top Glenn Suter rapping, but I'll try. First off, just because I can, to the people who subscribe to r/Argonauts on Reddit, you people are absolutely amazing. And the reason why that is because, as of today, r/Argonauts is actually now in second, has the second most subs, second most members following that subreddit in the entire league. We have from the end of the seat from the end of last season to today, we have effectively doubled the sub count. So we went from 951 on November 22nd to 1,842 today.
You went from like veggie sub to chicken carbonara sub.
Yeah, if you wanted to go that way, sure. And just for the record, Saskatchewan was in second place. They had 1,839. We have 1,842. So we beat them. So we beat them out by three.
Take that, Rapping Glenn Suter.
So our next target is the top of the league, and that belongs to Winnipeg. They have 3,408. So that's going to take us a while to get there, but I think we will get there eventually. The way we're going, sky's the limit.
Pass all Saskatchewan. Right.
Huh?
Pass Saskatchewan.
That's yep. Cool.
Okay, what shocks me the most is Winnipeg is the top subreddit in the CFL.
Yeah, I know. It sounds weird, but apparently winning a couple of Grey Cups in succession can do that. Meanwhile, you take a look at us and just winning one. Ballooned our numbers up to.
Well, we should win another one. We'll overtake that. Take Winnipeg.
We should win. We should win five or six in a row. I'd be happy with that.
If
we win five or six in a row, we'll probably overtake the Blue Jays at that point. Their subs are in the six figures, so it's doubtful. Anyway, it's doubtful we'll get that high. Anyway. However, never say never. Now, first of all, we had to – I wanted to curse Elon Musk out just really quickly for completely screwing up Twitter. But apparently it got fixed. Because the reason why it got screwed up is because, well, they took the translate function off. So we couldn't read our friend Anton's tweets.
Well, not easily.
Not easily, no. Although he did reply with a word that I did that as someone who's half Polish, I totally understood. So, but it's been fixed. It's been fixed. So now with that all said and done, let's take a trip to Kazakhstan and find out how our good friend Anton is doing.
We've had a couple months of tweets to go through.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still some of his tweets that we can't translate.
There's some we can. But I know for me, I actually.
There's one that I did like where he quoted one of the articles about one of the Ticats being suspended for two games for PED use. And why is it disappearing on me now? He simply said it didn't work. Said it didn't help. And then probably a poor translation, a stray addition to the draw.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't help. Colin Kelly of the Hamilton Ticats offensive line got banned for two games for using a banned substance. And obviously, they sucked. It didn't help. And The other one that I did like was one that I referenced earlier. The NFL is known for asking all kinds of questions in their player interview, leading up to the draft. And this came out from the CFL Reddit on Twitter. NFL teams can no longer ask draft prospects if their mother is a sex worker. The NFL has warned clubs that inappropriate questions will result in the loss of a draft pick and a fine. And Anton's response? Hamilton did not field the team when this question was asked in the CFL.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's a good one. Yikes. Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
I think that's the winner. Yeah.
You know, and the fact that this was a question that was actually asked.
Yeah, that's just screwed. That's just, I mean, NFL, y'all, I mean, NFL, y'all need Jesus for asking that kind of stuff. What the hell?
Yeah, and if that's the one that they led with, I wonder what other kind of inappropriate questions they asked.
Oh, probably stuff that would be that would be illegal up here to ask a potential employee.
Yeah. And just so we know that this is like something legit, not just something that was posted by Reddit. That statement actually came out from the Associated Press. So, they did ask.
EP.
Yeah, so just not a mom's group on Facebook. This actually was done properly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really have much of anything else. I mean, it's been quiet. What can I say?
Yeah, we hope. Hopefully, we get some more signings for the next time we talk to you all. We'll probably do another show when after free agency opens and see how everything goes. It'd be interesting. I mean, not as interesting as
as Glenn Suter rapping, but that's
no. Glenn Suter rapping is probably up there with the last Netflix docuseries I watched. Gunther's Millions.
Oh, the dog.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about the WWE wrestler for a second.
No.
Like who did he chop to get millions of dollars?
No, this was actually a dog who inherited a I had put it all in quotation marks. And a dog who inherited a countess's millions.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Marge Schott's dog.
No, this was an Italian dog. And it was a dog who and his successive bloodline inherited these millions of dollars in the form of a trust which actually has 27 employees that work for it. So there are 27 people on this planet that technically work for a dog.
Nice.
Including a chef that made him steak with gold leaf on it.
Salt Bay. That wanker? Well, that wouldn't surprise me, actually, if he did do that. Like, cooked a meal for a dog and then decided to crash a World Cup. Yeah.
Take 4 hours and go watch this. You'll come up with, like, there were times out loud I'm like, what the hell? How is this real? And then it all makes sense in the end, but I'm not going to, it's not going to tell you how it ends. Or how, yeah. It's about all the time.
I'll have to.
You're not going to spoil it.
No.
No spoilers. Good job. Anyway,
that's what we do in the off season. We you know, well, we no longer ask about sex workers, and you know, apparently we watch Netflix docuseries. And now we watch Glenn Suda Rap and old games on YouTube. Seems normal to me. All right, gentlemen, that does it. I don't think we got anything else to talk about. Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And Doug, you're on deck.
You can find me on Twitter at DougB509. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. We still got the merch store still up. I know I've been slacking there, but hopefully I'll get something up soon. Something new will be up there soon. DoubleBlueOrder.ca.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the Twitter and Instagram machines. You can find the Fancast at Argos Fancast on Twitter and Instagram. And anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast or on our new home, anchor.fm/ArgosFancast. That does it for this edition of the Argos Fancast. We'll talk to you after the silly season of legal tampering ends and we enter in real free agency. Cheers, everyone.